I call him him. Who is he? Coming up next on this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. We're going to be talking to Scott Kimack. He is the author of the book, I Call Him Him. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. I'm so excited to showcase this book because this is a gritty, post-apocalyptic, dystopian world that I know you're going to be fully immersed into. It is hard-hitting, fast-paced, action-packed thriller, and it is going to leave you on the edge of your seat. You're not going to even realize how fast the time flew, because by the time you finish this book, you're going to come back from this world and go, oh, I'm so thankful I'm in the year 2020, because in this book, the year 2020 is a baby compared to what happened in this book, and I can't wait to tell you more about it. We do want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for supporting us. If you want to find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net and find out what it's all about. We also want to thank our partner, Readio, for their support. Readio is an app that is solely dedicated to uploading books that are dedicated to the Most High God. Right now, Readio is giving nonfiction authors an opportunity to present their books to the Christian Convict Book Club, headed by Adam Sharp. He has made mention that reading nonfiction Christian books has changed his life while he is serving time in prison. So if you want to know more about that, simply go to readioapp.com and you can find out how you as a non-Christian fiction author can supply books for the Christian Convict Book Club. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, but you're invited to join the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Hi, and welcome back to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen Parker J, JC 104.5. Today we are talking to my guest co-host and contributor, Scott Kimack. He is the debut author of the book, I Call Him Him. It's a post-apocalyptic world that you are going to be fully immersed into. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. I'm really excited because this is the month I have been showcasing Christian authors who use dark fiction from a Christian worldview. And this book is probably the grittiest I've had this month, which is really exciting because it lets us know that there is no place too dark where God's light can't reach. And I'm excited to showcase that to you today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor, Scott Kimack. Scott, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. This is awesome, and thanks so much for this great opportunity.
And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me today. I don't take it lightly that you have joined me, and particularly since I just read your book today, I'm just so excited to let others know how wonderful this book is. I love gritty fiction. I love gritty sets and things of that nature. Those of you who have been following me some time, you're more of a monster sci-fi girl, and my favorite franchise is Alien and Predator. So everyone knows I like this stuff. So this is right up my alley, and I definitely enjoy this book. Like I was saying earlier, Scott, and to our listeners out there, this book reads really quickly. You're not going to be aware of the time until you finish reading. You're going to be like, oh, my gosh, I'm back in 2020. What a great place to be. So, Scott, I'm excited to talk with you. I remember when I saw your book on Facebook. That's how I first saw your book. And I looked at the cover, which is killer. And I said, that cover is awesome. This dude looks like he is loaded for bear, but not because he has all this weaponry. All this dude has is two swords drenched in blood. And I said, I like this. I had to get it. I reached out to some mutual friends of ours who knew you. I said, okay, good. I can probably invite him onto the show. So now here we are. So looking forward to the conversation. But before I do that, I can always read your bio, but that really doesn't tell us who you are. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay. Well, I'm 52 years old. I'm a husband and a father, happily married for 26 years now with, the love of my life. I mean, she's my soulmate. And we have four wonderful children. Well, I guess I shouldn't call them children. They're all grown up now. My youngest is 19, but, been blessed with a wonderful family, a wonderful life. I'm a school teacher, and I'm also a kung fu master. I've been teaching and practicing martial arts for nearly 40 years. And besides that, I'm an author. That's been my latest task that I've been set on over the last couple of years. So, and it's something I just love to do. I just have a passion for writing right now.
What's fascinating is that when I was stalking you on Facebook, I saw the video that you did of some moves you did. And you were like, hey, 50 and still kicking it, literally.
Oh,
sitting there going, oh my gosh. And you were doing some moves, Scott. I was just floored. I said, wow, if I hit my toe, I'm calling on Jesus, you know. So this guy is, cracking and breaking wood and doing all kinds of really cool moves. And I said, I wish I was just there to watch you in person. The video doesn't quite capture the agility that you had. And for you to be in your 50s, some people would die for that type of agility. But like you said, you're a kung fu master. And so much of that is embedded in your book, I Call Him Him, which is available on Amazon.com. or wherever books are sold. So it goes to my next question, because you just said you're a teacher, you're a kung fu master, happily married man, father of several children. But now, what does your journey to writing look like? Because this is your debut novel.
It's really weird. I mean, actually, I you've probably seen my bio. I've actually had this story in my head ever since I was a teenager, since I think I was like 13 or 14 when I actually came up with it. So this is almost 40 years ago. And, I had already had the whole thing planned out, the whole trilogy, kind of had it mapped out in my head. And I started writing it. I remember I wrote I might have wrote just the first couple pages. And I actually brought it to my very first Kung Fu teacher, my first Kung Fu master. And I brought it to him, and he looked at it, and he just kind of laughed at it and said, "Don't waste your time on this. Practice your Kung Fu." And it just kind of crushed me because I really looked up to this person. You know, it turned out later on he ended up not being maybe the best person to admire and look up to. But when you're a kid, you know, you don't really know. But anyway, that kind of crushed me, and I never tried writing again after that. You know, I just gave up on it. And it wasn't until just a couple of years ago, I think it's been about 2 years now, and, you know, I get a lot of time off in the summer being a school teacher, and I couldn't find anything to watch on TV or whatever. I'm messing around with my laptop. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to try to write that story that, you know, I thought of when I was a kid. I'm going to give it a go. And I started writing, and it just would not stop coming to me. It just, I mean, I wrote like all day. My fingers were numb. And I brought it to my wife to show her. And my wife's a really tough critic. I mean, my wife will not sugarcoat anything. I mean, if she thinks you're bad at something, I mean, she'll tell you straight up. She's like, no, this is horrible, you know? And I brought it to her, and she started reading it, and she had like tears in her eyes. And she said, "Oh my God, Scott, this is really good." You know? And so then I knew, I'm like, well, wow, maybe I can do this, you know? And, you know, I continued writing and, finished the book. I showed it, you know, to a few people, and everyone just, you know, loved it. And, you know, I showed it to, I had, you know, someone, you know, my editor edited it, and my editor just also fell in love with it and said, wow, this is really good, you know? And so I started getting, you know, like, whoa, hey, you know, maybe I can do this, you know? So, yeah. So now it's just, it's kind of taken over my life. You know, I'm just writing all the time. You know, I already finished the second book, which should be coming out soon. And the third book, I'm about halfway done with that one. And then there's the marketing side, you know, spending tons of time putting into that too. And it's just, yeah, it's really, I mean, I don't have a lot of free time, you know, with work and martial arts and stuff, but every, you know, second that I'm not doing those things, I'm busy with the writing world. So yeah, it's really been somewhat of a journey. Yeah.
I like the fact that you picked up a story that you started 40 years ago and kept with it. And I think that's encouraging to our aspiring authors out there, whom I always tell to use the gift that God gave you and pick up the pen and write. And it doesn't matter when you start that story. The thing is to get to the end. And that's what you did. It may have taken you time, but you finally got to the end, and people are raving about this book because it reads like a kung fu movie set in a dystopian world, but it also is so visually stimulating. You can see everything happening before your eyes, and it's surprising because you are a debut author utilizing that skill set to really write descriptive action scenes. Plus, I have to say, and likely your practical experience as a Kung Fu master has something to do with that. And speaking of Kung Fu master, mm-hmm. of course I have to go into why you got into Kung Fu, because that is something the West is particularly fascinated with and probably will always be fascinated with. So tell us about your journey to being a Kung Fu master.
Okay. Well, you know, when I was a kid, you know, this is back in the 70s. So, you know, it was quite different back then. It's not like today where, you know, almost every movie has martial arts in it, or, you know, or even the, you know, the cartoons and the Power Rangers and Dragon Ball Z and all that type of stuff. You know, so when I was a kid, you know, you really didn't see that, like Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson and stuff. You know, those were the tough guys, and they'd usually, you know, you saw them just punch someone or something like that. And I remember, we were at the movie theater or whatever, they showed the coming attractions to, I'm not sure which, I can't remember now, which Bruce Lee movie it was, and that they, you know, it was going to be showing. And I'm like, you know, all of a sudden I see, you know, Bruce Lee throw a kick or something. And I'm like, wow, he actually lifted his foot and attacked someone with his, you know, lifted his leg and attacked someone with his foot. I'm like, I've never seen that. you know, it was just a different world back then. And I was just in awe. And I said, wow, I want to learn how to do that. You know, so I asked my mother, and I'm like, you know, hey, I want to learn this, you know. And so she opened up the Yellow Pages and, looked for different places, and we went and we checked one out, and that was it. I walked in there and took my first class, and I remember walking out, and I turned to my mother, and I said, you know what? I just love this. I want to do this for the rest of my life. That's what I told her. And I just fell in love with it. Yeah, and it's just, you know, I just love the martial arts. I love the discipline behind it, the determination. You know, just it's really so much about the hard work ethic that is really what is taught in it. And I think that can apply to, you know, anything that you do in life, you know, regardless, you want to be successful with your job or even with with your love life and romance. You know, sometimes it takes hard work in a marriage, you know, sometimes, you know, and I think, you know, sometimes people may not be used to that. And so they, you know, they run away from things too easily, or they don't, you know, challenge themselves. And I really think that's what the martial arts did for me. And it really made me, you know, very determined in life to try to succeed at what I set my mind to. So, that's why I love it so much. And then the health aspect of it also, you know, it keeps you young. I mean, I know you made the comments earlier, but it keeps you young. It keeps you in shape. And, you know, there's so many people today, you know, that have obesity and diabetes and things like this. And I just think that, you know, the martial arts is just a wonderful way to have that exercise and help you be healthy and you know, make you live a longer and happier life. So.
It's fascinating, too, because I remember some of those movies you were talking about with Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood. And Charles Bronson was in a karate movie, I think. I think he was in one.
Was he? I don't know if I saw that one.
I think he was. I may have it wrong, but I think he was in one. And then, or am I thinking about, you know who I'm talking about, Walker, Texas Ranger. Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Wrong person. But, yeah, we used to watch those kung fu movies all the time. My dad, when we were kids, and my favorite was, well, any movie with Bruce Lee was pretty good. But my favorite was Five Fingers of Death. That was my favorite one growing up, and some of the other movies I can possibly name. And then it went into like a cheesy era, like after the 70s went to this really cheesy era where they started doing just these miraculous things that, like, really? And then back in the late 90s, 2000s, Kung Fu became this art form again. And some of the movies that depicted that was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The One,
right,
with Jet
yeah.
Li. I remember he came onto the scene. Some of the other movies, they started to depict it in a more artistic form. Like in The One, for example, Jet Li is actually showcasing two different styles of martial arts, depending
right,
on his
right.
His double. And those are little subtle things that you pick up on. But yeah, so I had to know your journey to Kung Fu because it's so cool watching you in that video. It is so cool. It's like, wow, I am so jealous, you know. And that is also an element that's in the book, I Call Him Him, which is available again on Amazon.com. And it's not a spoiler what I'm going to say, but there is a scene where a character is forced, wants to become the disciple of this master. And he has to balance, I think, on one foot for a long time. And if he gets out of position, he can't be the disciple. And so he goes into this inner meditation during the exercise, and he finds himself having stood there for a long time, which I found an interesting aspect that we're going to talk about later on in the broadcast. And it's a lot about pain. But one thing Kung mm-hmm. Fu, that at least the way it's depicted in the story, shows you is that pain is necessary as a form of correction. But you can also ignore that pain and use it to become inured to it as well. So it's two dynamics going on there with it. But like I said, we'll talk about that later on in the interview. So you're a debut author. You're just starting to write. So tell us, you've already written book 2 and 3. So tell us what your writing process.
Well, you know, I've been asked that before. And, you know, I already kind of have an idea of like a skeleton, you know, of what I'm going to write. But then, so, you know, sometimes as I start writing, it just, ideas come to me, you know, you know, I'll look out the window and see something, or I'll remember something, you know, from the past. You know, actually, and I call him. I mean, some of the things that are in that story are actually are actual parts of my past that are in there, but, you know, it's slightly changed a little bit. I don't want to give it away, but but you might know what some of them are, you know, because you've already read it. But there's a few things in there that you know, sometimes those things will come out, but then sometimes other new ideas will just come to me as I'm writing. And I really feel like as I'm writing, I become the character, you know, and I really start to get, you know, emotional about it. You know, my wife, sometimes she'll see me typing and she'll walk in the room and she'll see like that the tears are coming down my face. She's like, "What are you doing?" and I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, like, but I fall into that world. Like, I don't know if I fall, but I get pulled into it and I become part of that character. And, you know, from reading the book that, you know, him is, you know, he's in a world where he's just, you know, filled with sorrow, where he's, you know, pretty much, because of, you know, what happens, he's pushed everything away and almost turned to this darkness that he can't get away from. And so sometimes I almost feel like, you know, that kind of, as I'm writing, I start to get that and it can scare me a little bit sometimes, quite honestly. And, you know, and then I'll pull out of it. And I'm like, "Oh, okay. I'm fine now. I'm back to the real world. I'm back to 2020, you know, but, yeah, I just kind of, let it go and just, you know, and just, I don't know. I let my feelings just pull into it and really try to become that character when I'm writing about it. And sometimes it takes me in different directions. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night. You know, it's weird. And I don't know if I dreamt it or you know, whatever it was. All of a sudden I'll have this idea. And, I'll, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I'll jump up out of bed and run over, grab my laptop and start writing because I had some kind of, you know, idea. I don't know if it's an epiphany. I don't know what it is while I was sleeping. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that, you know, many authors have like a certain process and they say they do it this and this in certain steps, but I don't know if I necessarily do that. I think I just start with a skeleton and then it just, it, you know, I just start writing and I just let my emotions pull me in different ways, you know, and I guess that's my process. I don't know if that sounds unusual, if you've heard that from other writers before or not, but that's kind of how I do it.
Some would call that a plantser. Basically, you have a plot, which is like a skeleton, like you said, outline, and then you just kind of go with the flow and let whatever the idea is flow out of you. So no, it's not unusual, mm-hmm. and it's a good place to be, I think. I used to be, or rather, I am transitioning from a pantser who highly advocated being a pantser to being something of a plotter. And I feel like the people in the world who have been listening to the show for years are going to rise up and shoot me because I was such a diehard pantser because I enjoyed the flow. But over time, as your thoughts change and the more you write, your process will change as well. But because you are a debut author, I want those aspiring authors to know what you did to go from I want to write a book to I wrote a book to I published a book. And those are very powerful phrases for our aspiring authors out there that I want you to capture in this interview with my good friend Scott Kimack, who is the author of the book I Call Him. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist,
and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Hi, and welcome back to this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. We are talking today to Kim Descott Kimack. He is the author of the book, I Call Him Him, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. I'm definitely enjoying the conversation. And Scott, once again, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you. It's been wonderful so far. I'm really enjoying this, so super excited.
One of the things I want you to tell us about the book, but I don't want you to give us any major spoilers. We can handle a little bit of spoilers because, as most people know, I am spoiler sensitive. But just tell us a little bit about the book. Give us an idea of what I Call Him Him is about.
Okay. Well, yeah, pretty much, you know, what I'm going to say, you're going to find out really in the prologue or even in the first chapter. So it's not like I'm really giving that much away, but it's a futuristic world. The world has been devastated by a nuclear war. Pretty much, you know, most of humanity has been wiped out, but there were some survivors, you know, that were able to live, you know, underground in caverns or bomb shelters or whatever it may be. And, you know, years later, after surviving, they start to try to come back to the surface and, you know, try to pick the pieces up and see if they can, you know, rebuild the world. But unfortunately, when they come back, they find that, you know, an evil presence now controls what is left of mankind. And basically, you know, humans are just treated like slaves. As far as God has been, you know, wiped from the picture. Like, you know, if you speak God's name, you're going to be tortured and killed for it. You know, it's, you know, so religion is gone. There's just evil controls what's left. And the main character, who is this unnamed warrior that you don't know what his name is. His family has, you know, been murdered, his wife and his daughter. And so it has, you know, put him down this dark road of vengeance and revenge. And that's really pretty much all that, you know, almost exists of him. You know, it's you know, taken control, this very dark side. And so has this, you know, constant of trying not to lose himself in this, you know, complete pool of darkness and just making him into this killing machine, but he's still, you know, bent on revenge and, you know, for what has happened, you know, to his family. But it's really, I don't know how else to say, it's really messed him up. so he's, you know, for years, that's all he's thought about, you know, and he's trying, you know, just, it's almost like he's just a killing machine, like a robotic, I guess, Terminator type killing machine, you know, that just is bent on revenge. But, you know, then he's going to meet this little girl and everything's going to start to change after that. But I don't want to go into too much more. I don't want to spoil it, like I said, but that's where, you know, there's going to be, you know, this, this pull to try to bring him back, but has he gone too far? You know, has he gone too far that he can't come back from this darkness that he's fallen into? And while all that's going on, though, there's this this fight between good and evil, and you know, and for you know, the side of good trying to you know, get back what they once had and return humanity, you know, to goodness. So that's really, you know, that's really what it's about. So
one of the interesting things as I was reading Call Him Him, available once again on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, is that a lot of books explore the possibility that a nuclear war, like what happened in I Call Him Him, and we don't know what started that war, we just know it happened, is that because there aren't a lot of people around, a lot of supernatural things would actually have more control over a devastated world in that light. And I was surprised at the darkness that had arisen after this nuclear war destroyed most of the earth. Again, you've figured this out in chapter one, chapter two of the book, because it reads very, very quickly. And people generally will take the path of least resistance. One thing that hadn't happened, except for him, is that most people fell into slavery. They just went along with it because they didn't really have a leader. And I wouldn't call him a leader. If anything, he is a anti-hero, and he's also more concerned with his own revenge than helping people, even though he does help people along the way. And I think that has a lot to do with his training as a Kung Fu master, because they're supposed to be helping people. They don't necessarily just keep all their stuff together unless they're like a monk, like a Shaolin monk, which they stay isolated from the world and do their thing there. So it's a fascinating tale in I Call Him Him. And there are many characters that you meet along the way in this journey of the book. One of those characters, like you said, is a little girl, but also one character who is just a rotten villain. And he tends to have the best name in the Bible. So tell us a little bit about that particular character and what his name is. And you did our biblical patriot injustice when you named him this.
Right. Yes. Yes. His name is Abraham. Okay. Yeah. Abraham experiences something. And again, I don't want to go into too much detail, but as a child, which is going to, you know, change his life, you know, should he have been able to, you know, stop that from happening? Maybe if he, you know, I don't know, was a different person or whatever caused him to do it, but he goes along a different path and, yeah, and falls, you know, into darkness and going to the side of evil. So, yeah, so very opposite from the, you know, from what's in the Bible, you know. But, yeah, it's he's going to, you know, basically become, yeah, the right hand, you know, to the evil master, you know, that is in control. But, you know, he thinks that what he's doing is right and thinks that, you know, God failed him and blames God, you know, for what happened when it was really, you know, his own choice of, you know, the path that he went down. But, you know, he ends up falling into this, and for his own, you know, wants and desires and so forth, to take this path of evil. I don't want to, again, I don't want to give too much away. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but, yeah, there are, Abraham and some of the things that happened to him in the Bible, but I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if I want to give that away right now, because that's kind of a big shocker in the book. So,
oh yeah, we won't give anything away, but he's just an interesting character because he decided to make certain choices that led him down that path. And that's one thing that I think is a offshoot of some of the Kung Fu principles that are involved when studying that particular martial art, is that it's a path to take. And as I mentioned earlier, with Jet Li in the movie The One, the good Jet Li, his path was like a circular path, whereas the evil Jet Li had a linear path. And that often is
right.
a illustration of the Western view. In a sense, the Western view of time, the Western view of time is a point at a beginning going straight forward to a time. But the Eastern view, typically speaking, not general, not all the time, but typically speaking, is a circular view where the past connects to the present connects to the future, and it's a circle. You can really see that illustrated mm-hmm. in the movie Arrival, which was a really good movie that I enjoyed. But you can really see that illustrated, just the view of time and how the aliens in that movie helped humans because they knew that humans would help them in the future. So, yeah, lots of good stuff in the book that I saw, a lot of Eastern synchronization, a lot of Western thought. But this is definitely a Christian book that is written for the general market. I think anyone can read this book, not just Christians, but anyone can read this book. It is a gritty book. There is swearing. There is some acts of violence, some sensuality, some bad scenes in there. But it adds to this world here because they're in a post-apocalyptic world where they are fighting for their very survival, and they are in the control of an evil person. So it's not going to be a happy-go-lucky world. And that was something I mentioned throughout this show this month about using dark fiction to shine a light in the darkness. And what has been some of the responses you've received from people who have read I Call Him Him when they are confronted by the evilness of this world?
Yeah, I've most people have really enjoyed it, and I've gotten some really good reviews. But I did have a few people that, you know, were a little bit, put off by some of the violence and swearing and so forth. But what I've told them and you know, the way I feel is, yeah, I could have made this book, you know, PG. And if I did that, I probably could have even been more successful because I could have hit a bigger audience. You know, I could have, kids reading this and everything. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to water it down. I wanted to show a picture of if, evil were to take over, what it's really going to look like. You know, it's not going to be, jumping through lily fields. So I wanted to show that darkness so that way when, maybe when people read it, they'll look at it and say, oh, my gosh, we can't ever let this happen. You know, we have to continue, our struggle and our fight against evil to keep this world good, because, we don't want this to happen. You know, that's what I wanted to show, and so I tried to make it a little bit more realistic and gritty because, I mean, let's face it, we can't close our eyes. We turn on the TV and, there's war and there's murder and there's child molestation and there's rape. And I mean, these things exist in our world. And definitely, if it came to the point where evil won and took over, it would even be worse, And so that's what I wanted to show. But still, though, even with all that, showing that darkness that people could, don't give up on your faith, don't give up your hope. And keep believing. And if you do that, then anything is possible, and that's what I wanted to show in this book, that even though there's this darkness over the planet and even this darkness over the main character that's trying to pull him away, that there's, still this touching, story of how the light, can still save you, And so that's what I wanted to show. I didn't want to make it, I didn't want to make it.
You didn't want to whitewash it. You didn't want to water it down. And you didn't want to.
Yeah, right. I didn't, exactly. I didn't want to sugarcoat it. That was the word I was looking for. I didn't want to sugarcoat it. And make it. Like you said, too whitewashed, yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And mind you, this is a thing of preference, so I'm not knocking those people who write clean, gritty books because they're out there. We
showcase
them on the show
yeah.
all the time. But I really enjoyed the book because of such a realistic bent to it. And before we go to our next break, I do want to talk about this thing I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, and it was about pain. And one thing many of the characters in this book is dealing with, they're dealing with pain, and the pain is external as well as internal. And there is a moment in the book where him is losing his mind. When you enter his mind, he is going crazy because he's in so much pain. And interestingly enough, he's willing to deal with the physical pain of combat, but not the pain of internal conflict. Because as he said in the book, if I get scratched, that means I didn't move fast enough. If I get hit, that means I didn't move fast enough. If I get bleeding, I must have not did that. So he welcomed pain, but he only welcomed that pain in the physical context. Whereas other characters in the book, they had to come face to face. Now, I have to ask you this, Scott, because that was something I noticed in the book. Was that a deliberate thing, or was that just one of those things that happened as you were writing? You were thinking, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. Tell us about it.
No, I think I did it deliberately. I think at least for me, coming from my point of view as being a martial artist, that I think physical pain is something that you can deal with and you become used to it. I think anyone that's, in the martial arts or maybe a professional athlete or something like that, it's something that you can almost start to become you can start to become used to it and get desensitized from pain, the physical aspect. But internal pain, I think, is something totally different. And so, yeah, he has a real hard time struggling with that, with the emotions, you know. And it's like I said, I mean, you know, you can be the toughest guy in the world. Like I told you, when I write, sometimes I'm crying when I write, you know. So you can deal, you know, sometimes with physical pain and block it out. But that internal, that emotional pain, I think that sometimes is so much more difficult. And that's what he's really having a hard time dealing with. Where some of the other characters, yeah, in the book are have an easier time overcoming that. But, for him, it was that he had spent so much time dealing with that physical pain throughout his life that he hadn't prepared himself, you know, for the emotional pain and so forth. So that's his conflict, his struggle, you know.
It's a struggle, too. And I could only think about the words of Ravi Zacharias when he said, pain is an indication that something is wrong. And without pain, we don't know how to correct it. If we never felt pain, we would never have an idea that some things are wrong. And there are people out there who have a condition where they can't feel pain at all. And so they can hurt themselves and not even know it because they can't feel the sensation of pain, the stinging sensation. And that relates to the world around us. The world is in pain. It's sin sick. It is struggling and is calling out for medicine, calling out for a cure that's in Christ Jesus alone. And that is something that is desperately needed in this world. In the book, I call him, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead, take a quick break. When we come back, Scott is going to read us an excerpt from I Call Him. Depending on what he reads, just be aware there may be some swearing within the context of the excerpt. So we're just giving you a forewarning. But depending on where he reads, I just want to let you know there may be some swearing. It's not a lot of swearing in the book at all, but it is in there, and I don't want our listeners to be shocked if you hear it. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and you still have an opportunity to call in and weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on air. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market, Radio solely caters to it. Follow at Radio App today on social media or visit radioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Radio, the best app for the most high-influence ebooks and audiobooks.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, and welcome back to the special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J., part of WPJC 104.5. I'm having such a good time talking to my good friend, Scott Kimack. He is the author of the book, I Call Him Him, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's a gritty post-apocalyptic story that is going to just have you on the edge of your seat. It comes out the park running, and you're going to be running along with it. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy, I Call Him Him, today. And Scott is going to read an excerpt from us. And Scott, thank you for sharing it. Go ahead and set it up for our listeners as you see fit. I'm going to mute myself so I don't interrupt you, and go ahead and read when you're ready.
Thank you. This is from chapter 21. The chapter title is Fear. We continued trudging along toward the tower. I looked down at my shoes and remembered that long ago they had been white. However, the years had been cruel and changed them to a rusty brown. The dust had slowly eaten them away and darkened what was once so clean. The laces were fraying away and flopping in the wind, just like my hopes. Our dark friend was dragged along the ground, sometimes over dirt and sometimes over exposed pavement. Seeing the sharp rocks or broken glass lying in his path, I badly wanted to shout out a warning, but there was nothing I could do. His back would slide over them, and I could see a trail of blood left behind, yet his face remained indifferent to the pain. Glancing to my left, I saw Bill marching at my side, and I could see the look of concern on his face. Then I looked to my right and saw a tear roll down Angelica's cheek. I don't think we are getting out of this alive. We will be brought before this master and tortured to death. Fear crept into my bones, my own fear of the pain I would suffer, and most of all, the fear for my friends. What is fear? Pondered this many times over the last 5 years. Why do some people have more fear than others? My dark friend doesn't know the meaning of the word, yet Bill and I have experienced it many times. However, maybe he does know fear. Surely not his own fear of dying, but maybe he fears for the life of his companions. Since he has hardly ever spoken, it is hard to know if he really cares what happens to Bill or me, but Angelica is a different story. I know he cares about her. I can tell by the way he looks at her. There is a longing in that look that she has woken. Something inside of him has returned that I thought was lost. I have seen him start to change. There is something in his eyes that makes him appear more human. Before, his eyes almost seemed like a demon's eyes. They were dead eyes, lifeless and without emotion. Now I see a flicker of moisture where before they were dry and unforgiving. Is that the answer? Can someone without fear not be able to cry? It is said that of all the animals on the planet, humans are the only ones that can create tears. Isn't this a weakness of our species? Don't we teach our young boys not to cry? We tell them, toughen up. Stop being such a crybaby. We push them to keep their feelings hidden. Otherwise, we assume they will be taken advantage of. How does the saying go? Nice guys finish last. The stereotype of a man who shows his emotions is someone who will not be successful, someone who is unattractive and can't provide for his family. This stereotype has pushed man to become something without compassion. It has desensitized him from the needs of others. No wonder the final war occurred and man destroyed our planet. No wonder God abandoned us and let evil preside over what is left. However, I see a ray of hope. If someone who has lost as much as my dark companion can start to change, then maybe all mankind can change. This world is blanketed in fear now, but maybe we need fear to wake up our emotions. Maybe crying isn't a weakness, but a way for fear to leave our bodies and give us the courage to fight. We reach the tower. Okay, and that's it. That's chapter 21.
That was an excerpt from the debut novel by Scott Kimack called I Call Him Him, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. One thing about dystopian novels is that you do get very introspective as you begin to look at the state of humanity and the human condition. And I think this particular genre, which is a dark fictional genre, gives us a wonderful opportunity to explore the condition of the human soul, because in the character of Him, we have a man bent on revenge who has the ability to take out a horde of demons without blinking. I run from flies, Scott. I am terrified of flies. I'm terrified of bears. Recently, a mouse got into my house and I nearly jumped on top of the ceiling fan to get away from it. So I can't take on demons like that. But one thing that happens is that I don't have to take on demons. The Lord is the one who does it. I just have to speak His name, and it happens. And this is an element that is explored in a very unique way in the book I Call Him Him. Without going too much into it, because I think it's a spoiler that I don't want our listeners to be privy to, I think we can at least talk about just how powerful prayer is. And this is something you highlight in the book in a rather unique way. So tell us your thought process behind prayer and how it is able to withstand against horde of demons.
Right. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a time where, like I said, that people have kind of forgotten God or given up on Him, or thought that God abandoned them. But this one little girl, you know, she doesn't see things that way. You know, she has this strong, strong faith that she won't give up on. And because of it, if God had left or whatever, he came back for her because she never gave up on Him as some others might have, you know. And so He hears her words, you know, and is going to, you know, grant her the power to be able to fight back. So that's the way I see it, is that we can't give up. You know, we still have to. No matter how bleak or bad things can look in our life sometimes, we can't give up our faith and believing in God. And that's, that's what this story is about, really, that she never gives up. And that's really is what kind of is going to change things for all the characters in the book, to bring things around. So
what has the reader's response been to I Call Him Him?
Well, it's been really good. I mean, I've gotten excellent reviews. I think on Amazon right now I have like 31 reviews, and it's like a 4.7 average, out of 5. I've really got some great reviews on almost all of them. I think I've had like maybe one bad review, which wasn't even that bad. I think that was like a 3-star. Everyone else has been, 5-star reviews, 4-star reviews, and yeah, everyone has just raved about the book and say they really enjoy it, that it's really different, than most books. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to, the book, I think, is almost multi genre. I mean, it can be fantasy, science fiction, Christian, horror a little bit, so it's got a little bit of elements in it from several different genres, suspense, thriller, and I think that's what attracts a lot of different people to it, even if they're not Christians. And that's what I hope also, if people that are non-Christians read it and maybe it'll start to give them a different look on things and bring them closer to God. So that's what I'm hoping for.
I've really enjoyed our conversation today, Scott, and we are near the top of the hour, so we have to be meant to shut it down. So I want people to have an opportunity to follow you. I know, right? I want them to have an opportunity to follow you online. So go ahead and tell us what your social media outlets are.
Okay, well, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. All those, you can just put my name, Scott Kimak, it's K-I-M-A-K. You know, if you just Google any of those, they'll all pop up. I'm also on BookBub is another one. And then my books are available on Amazon, also Barnes & Noble just recently, Smashwords also. I just got onto Smashwords. So, they can follow me there, get updates, you know, and my second book of the, part two of the trilogy will be right now. Actually, I just got some sketches back from the cover design and they look great. And hopefully it'll be ready for pre-order by the end of next month, by November, the end of November. So.
In the few moments that we have left, Scott, give us some encouraging words to our aspiring authors out there whom God has given the gift to write, to pick up the pen and do so.
Don't give up. Never give up and never let anyone stop you from doing what you love to do. I mean, write because it's a passion that you want, that you enjoy it. You're probably not going to make a lot of money in the beginning. It takes a while and there's a whole marketing side you need to learn about it too. But don't give up on it. You know, it might be difficult in the beginning, but just, I guess, like in the story, keep your faith and you'll get there eventually.
Scott, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. I really enjoyed our time together. Really enjoyed reading the book, I Call Him Him, and I cannot wait for the second book because I know I'll probably be one of your first people to buy it so I can read it for myself. And then I cannot wait to have you back on the show and have you back real soon.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this.
And we were talking today to Scott Kimak. He is the author of the debut novel, I Call Him Him. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. If you want to visit him on his website is icallhimhim.com and i-call-him-him.com. Really interesting website there. The book is phenomenal. If you like gritty books, if you like dystopian horror, don't mind a little violence, a little swearing, but Christian fiction that really hits you in the face with just how evil is, this is the book for you. I definitely enjoyed it. Cannot wait for the second book. It's a unique take because he also includes his love for Kung Fu as well as his experience as being a Kung Fu master in the book. And you start to understand some of the principles behind it as you read this book, I Call Him Him. One thing that I really want to emphasize and leave with you is that Scott started this story 40 years ago. He was discouraged from it, but then the Lord allowed him to pick up the pen from when he was 10, keep writing it now. Are you going to let the Lord lead you in the story that he has for you that he wants you to write to share with the world? It doesn't matter when you start the story. It matters when you finish it and when you write the end and share it with the world. So go ahead, pick up the pen and write stuff. Thank you for joining me for this special edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.